ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम रघुपति राघव राजा राम पतित पावन सीताराम
रघुपति
राघव राजा राम पतित पावन सीताराम रघुपति राघव राजा राम पतित पावन सीताराम
रघुपति
राघव राजा राम पतित पावन सीताराम केशव माधव राजा राम
केशव
माधव राजा राम पतित पावन सीताराम
पतित पावन सीताराम
राम राम जय राजा राम 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 जय सीताराम
राम
राम जय राजा राम 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 जय सीताराम राम 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 सीताराम राम 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 सीताराम राम 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 सीताराम राम 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 सीताराम राम 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 सीताराम सीताराम जय जय राम सीताराम
जय जय राम सीताराम जय जय राम सीताराम
जय जय राम सीताराम
सीताराम
जानकी कांत स्मरणम जय जय राम राम ॐ सहनाववतो सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः We need to know the reality in order to know what fullness is, because fullness is limitlessness. Limitlessness is happiness. As happiness is our choiceless end. Happiness has to be attained only in terms of knowledge of what happiness is. in order to attain happiness in terms of knowledge. Otherwise, in order to know what happiness is, we need to choicelessly understand what fullness means. And in order to understand what fullness is, we have to understand or know what the reality or the truth, the absolute reality or the ultimate truth of the whole cosmos is. And the Shastram makes it very clear, the reality or the truth of the cosmos, Jagat Satta or Jagataha Satyam, implied by the term Brahma or Paramatma. Paramatma or Brahma. So Shastram makes it very clear that reality, Paramatma or Parambrahma, has to be arrived at only in one's own mind, as the very substance of the substantive I, or as the very swarupam of the knower. Important line. The truth of the universe is available for recognition only as the swarupam or the truth of the knower. Therefore, in order to know what is the swarupam or the truth of the knower, what is, you need to know, you need to distinguish the knower from the known. Now we see the knower and the known, everything inseparably, distancelessly mixed. In order to distinguish the knower from the known, there is a method. And the knower actually, here, the knower is the first person singular pronoun, I. Therefore, with from the standpoint of every individual, the entire universe is the known, and every individual from the standpoint of the universe is the knower. So the knower is I, and I is the knower. Therefore, you distinguish the knower from the known. For anything and everything indicated by any pronoun other than I is an object of knowledge, the known. Therefore, we understood last class, the physical body, the sthula shariram, the sukshma shariram. Sukshma shariram means all the subtle aspects indwelling this gross body. The sthula shariram is an object of knowledge, comes under the category of the known. Therefore, the substance of the substantive is not the sthula shariram. Substance of the substantive I is not the physical body. Then all the subtle aspects indwelling the physical body, like five sense powers, five powers of organs of actions, five physiological functions, and even the mind, we saw all the varieties of thoughts, all of them are including the knowledge I am, which is the dead end of the, which forms the dead end of the mind, is also a vrittihi, a thought. Therefore, I the knower is distinct from even the knowledge I am. And even the knowledge I am, which is otherwise called ahankara, is also an object of knowledge, which means the substance of the substantive I, the knower, is different from the knowledge that I am. And that the I, the knower, is distinct and different from all the known thoughts which constitute the mind, is pure consciousness. And how do we know that? The consciousness is the substance of the substantive I. Your consciousness is the truth of the knower, the swarupam of the knower. Something very important you have to understand. When we said knower is consciousness, that knower is, the term knower is resolved in consciousness, which means the knower is a status incidentally attributed to the consciousness. Which means we saw last class, knowing is not an action, it is the very swarupam of the reality. When you say knower is consciousness, therefore swarupam or the truth of knower is consciousness. When you say, how do you understand the meaning of the word swarupam? It is the expression, swarupam of the knower is consciousness. A truth of the knower is consciousness. When you say, without the consciousness, there is no knower. There is no knower other than consciousness. Which means the knower is only a status which is attributed to consciousness. From the standpoint of the known world of objects. How to understand this, what I said now, how to understand that? I gave the example of light last class. I'll repeat it because these are the places people really get confused. Because Sanskrit, the word swarupam is the most expressive word. Even the words nature, all these words I use, but still I want to understand. When you say truth of the knower is, truth of the knower is consciousness, or the reality of the knower is consciousness, or swarupam of the knower is consciousness, what do I mean? The knower is consciousness, but consciousness is not the knower. This let us understand through the example of light. I say the whole world of opaque things comes under the category of the illumined. The illumined opaque objects and the illuminator are not physically separable or distinguishable. There is no distance between the illumined opaque thing and the illuminator light. The illuminator is, I have no doubt, why? Because the illumined is. There cannot be the illumined without the illuminator. The illumined shines, illumined is because there is an illuminator. And if you ask who the illuminator is, what the illuminator is. What is the swarupam of the illuminator? We need to arrive at the truth of every opaque thing here. What is the truth of the opaque thing here? The reality of every opaque thing, that in whose absence opaque thing will be as good as non-existent, that without whose presence opaque thing cannot come to light, cannot shine at all, that in whose presence alone opaque thing can shine and can enjoy the status of being existent, that is the truth of the opaque thing. Okay? What is the truth of the opaque thing? What is the reality of every opaque object? The truth of the opaque thing is that which lends existence to the opaque thing. That which lends existence to the opaque thing means that in whose absence opaque thing will be as good as non-existent. That in whose presence alone opaque thing can have the state of being existent. That in whose presence alone opaque thing enjoys the status of being an existent is the truth of the opaque thing, reality of the opaque thing. But now you want to arrive at the truth of the opaque thing. What I say, is there the truth of the opaque thing? If you ask, yes, there is a truth of the opaque thing. How do you know? Because opaque thing shines. Opaque thing shines. Therefore, opaque thing exists. If opaque thing exists means that which lends existence to the opaque thing is what? That in whose presence alone opaque thing can shine. Which means opaque thing shines because opaque thing is illumined. If it is not illumined, if it remains as an opaque, then it will be non-existent. Be as good as non-existent. Therefore, we say that the opaque thing is illumined, which means there is an illuminator whose presence, whose existence alone lends existence to the opaque thing by bringing it to light. How does the illuminator lend existence to the opaque? How does the light, how does the illuminator, I've used for illuminator, okay, carefully, step by step, how does the illuminator lend existence to the illumined opaque? Does it do any work? Does it make any effort? Does it undergo any change? No. Without undergoing any change, without doing any action, without making any effort, just by its mere presence, sannidhi matrena, the illuminator lends existence to the illumined opaque. How? By its mere presence, the illuminator brings the illumined opaque to light. Illuminator brings the opaque object to light, brings it to light, thereby it lends existence. Bringing the opaque object to light is lending existence. Illumining is lending existence. Is it clear? Very subtle lesson. Illumining is lending existence. Illumining is lending existence. I'm repeating many times the sentence. Therefore, in order to illumine, what does the light do? Nothing. Light needs to be present. By light, by its mere existence, mere presence, it illumines, and through illumination, it lends existence to the opaque. Therefore, we say here, the illuminator is the existence of the illuminator is the existence of the illumined opaque. Now, because we want to know what is that truth of the illumined opaque. So, understanding what the illuminator is, who the illuminator is, in fact, arriving at the truth of the opaque. Now you search for the who this illuminator is. And when you search, what do you arrive at? There is no such thing called illuminator other than light. And the illuminator is the light. This is the final step you arrive at. When you say illuminator is the light, what you mean is the swarupam or the truth or the reality of the illuminator is light. And really speaking, there is no such a thing called illuminator at all. There is only light. And what does the word illuminator mean? The word illuminator is only a qualification, temporarily, the attribute to the light from the standpoint of the opaque things. Is it clear? When you say illuminator is light, you have resolved intellectually the word illuminate, the in light, which means if there is no light, the word illuminator will be meaningless. The existence of the light is the existence of the illuminator. Therefore, illuminator is none other than the light. Once you arrive, when you equate it, illuminator is light, when you say, you have resolved the word mean illuminator in the light, then you have arrived at the truth of the light, the truth, the light, then you say, this light is the truth of the opaque. Is it clear? Similarly, we need to arrive at the truth of everything here. And truth of every opaque object is one and the same light. Even though illumined opaque things are innumerably countless, varied, multifarious, the illuminator light is one and the same light. from the standpoint of the illumined, there are many illumined. Therefore, from the standpoint of every illumined object, you can say there is an illuminator. There seems to be many illuminators. Really speaking, there are not many illuminators. There is the illuminator is one and the same light. Similarly, what is the truth of the entire cosmos? Inexplicably vast. What is the truth of this abstract factor called time? What time? What is the time? We say opaque thing is nothing but light. Light is not the opaque thing, but every opaque thing which shines, which exists, which enjoys the status of being existent is nothing but light. Light is not the opaque thing. Opaque thing is light. Why? Truth of the opaque thing is light. Therefore, you have to say opaque thing is light. Is light the opaque thing then? No. If the truth of the wave is water, you can say wave is water. But water is not the wave. Similarly, truth of the opaque thing is light. Therefore, opaque thing is light. But light is not the opaque thing. Distinct. Similarly, what is the truth of everything here? Everything means start from time. What time? What is time means? What is the word space? What is the truth of the space? What is the truth of the time? What is that without which the factor called time cannot exist at all? What is that factor without which the space cannot exist at all? What is that without which all these objects which exist within the realm of time and space, you know, all the elements, what is the truth of the earth, the truth of the air, truth of the fire, truth of all the five elements and all the truth of all the elementals, living things, non-living things, mobile beings, immobile things. What is the truth of everything? There is ekam satyam. There is only satyam. There is only one truth, one reality. Because of whose presence alone everything, anything here, you know, everything which enjoys existence. Just as opaque thing borrows existence from the light as though. Understand? Borrowing means what? Light lends existence. This lending is not an action here by its mere presence. Similarly, opaque borrows existence similarly here. What is that which lends existence to the time, space and all the elements and elementals, living beings, non-living things, all the actions, all the experiences or pains and pleasures, what is that which lends existence to everything that is here? Is the truth of everything. And what is the truth of everything? What is the reality of the whole cosmos? That is what Shastram says. Therefore, the whole cosmos comes under the category of the known, which includes your physical body, your all subtle aspects, includes your mind also. It includes the most precious knowledge I am, without which nothing else is possible. Isn't it? Therefore, everything is the known means the whole world has its status of being existent only when it is known. Just as opaque objects, the world of opaque things, has the status of being existent only when it is illumined. Similarly, the world, this elemental model, this pancha bhautika prapancha, has the status, can enjoy the status of being existent only when it is known. The illumined opaque enjoys existence. Similarly, the known prapanchaha also enjoys existence, has the existent status. Is it clear? Unknown jagat is as good as non-existent. The known alone enjoys existence. Unknown is as good as non-existent. Therefore, the universe, to have the status of being existent, has to be the known. And for it to become the known, there must be the knower. The knower is, how do you know knower is? We don't know who the knower is. Is there a knower? That is when none of us doubt about whether there is knower or not. We all know there is knower. How do you know there is knower? Because the known, there is the known. Jagat is the known. How do you say Jagat is the known? Because it shines. Jagat shines because it is known. It cannot shine if it is not known. In deep sleep state, when it is not known, Jagat does not shine. Jagat is not non-existent, but it is as good as non-existent in sleep. Why? Because it does not shine. Why it is not shine? It doesn't shine because it is not known. Understand? The known jnataha prapanchaha eva asti iti bhavati. Isn't it? Therefore, it is known. Therefore, it has to be known, means, and there must be the knower. Therefore, there is knower. How do you say there is knower? There is a knower. To know this, that there is a knower, we need not study Shastram. There is a knower to understand that, to arrive at that, is there a knower or not, we need not study Shastram. How do you know that there is a knower? Our own buddhi shakti, our own capacity to understand, helps us to arrive at this fact, there is a knower. How do you say? Because there is the known. How do you say? Because it shines. Jagat bhati, jagat shines because it is known. Therefore, there is a knower. Therefore, existence of knower is the existence of the known. The known has dependent existence, dependent on the existence of the knower for its existence. Therefore, the truth of the known is the knower. Understand? Now you want to know what exactly is the truth of the known, which means you need to know what the knower is, who the knower is. When that, who the knower is, that is where Shastram tells there is no knower other than you. You are the knower. When you say you are the knower, which means you have to say what? I, the self, am the knower. If I am the knower, you have to do what now? What am I? What I is? What is the content of I? What is the substance of the substantive I? To know that, you have to distinguish the knower from the known. That is why we used this prakriya called drishyaviveka prakriya, using which you have distinguished the drik, the knower, from the known drishyam, then you arrive at what? The knower is not the body, not the mind, not the sense organs. Everything comes in the category of the known. That knower is consciousness. When you say exactly what? Like illuminator is light, means light is the swarupam of the illuminator. Light is the truth of the illuminator. Light is the reality of the illuminator. Okay, therefore, light is the truth of the illumined also. Is it clear? Similarly, consciousness is the swarupam of the knower. Therefore, consciousness is the swarupam, the truth of the known. Is it clear? Now when you say consciousness is the truth, swarupam of the knower, means consciousness is not the knower, but the knower is none other than consciousness. Like how do you say light is not the illuminator, but the illuminator is light? Why? Because the illuminator is only a status which is there, you know, which is enjoyed, which is attributed to the light in the presence of the opaque things. Suppose all the opaque things are removed from here, light alone is, means, then light is not lost. The illuminator status alone is removable. Understand? If you bring my hand like this, you can say what? From the standpoint of my hand, illuminator is the light. Hand is taken away, light is. Light didn't come, light did not go. What came and what went is the status. What status? Illuminator status. Understand? Therefore, in the presence of the opaque things, illuminator status is attributed to the light. The opaque things are removed, illuminator status alone goes. Light was, light is, light will be. The status alone goes. The status. What? There's no such a thing called illuminator. Similarly, the knower. Who is the knower? There's no knower. The knower is consciousness. When you say consciousness is the swarupam of the knower, means the knower is only a temporary status, okay, attributed to consciousness from the standpoint of the known. Is it clear? Therefore, if I am the knower, knower is consciousness. I am consciousness. The truth of the I, there is no I or knower other than consciousness. Swarupam, the truth of the I, the content of I, the substance or substantive I, the knower is consciousness. And the same consciousness is the truth of every inert thing in this universe, known universe. Understand? Truth of the known universe is the consciousness. Your consciousness is not the knower status. Consciousness is not the known, distinct from the knower, distinct from the known. At the same time, the knower is none other than consciousness. The known is also nothing but consciousness. Is it clear? And that consciousness, how many knowers are here? How many knowers are here? all of every one of us can say, I am the knower, I am the knower, I am the knower, I am the knower. It seems as though there are many knowers. Really speaking, the knower is, every knower is what? Actually speaking, the knower is one and the same consciousness. The known are many, therefore there seems to be many knowers. Really speaking, the knower is one and the same consciousness. And we say now, this consciousness is implied by the term Brahma. Why? Because time is an object of knowledge. Anything which is an object of knowledge, the subject, the knower, is the truth of the known. Is time an object of knowledge or not? Tell me. Is time an object of knowledge or not? Tell me. Time is an object of knowledge. Time is an object of knowledge means it has no independent existence. An object of knowledge is dependent on the knower for its existence. Therefore, knower of time is consciousness. Your consciousness is the truth of the time which lends existence to very time factor. Therefore, the consciousness which lends existence to the time factor cannot be bound by time. Therefore, consciousness is free from time limitation. Therefore, we say consciousness is of the nature of timelessness. Kalataha aparichinnaha. Consciousness is said to be of the nature of timelessness. It is said to be timeless reality. It is free from time limitation, not bound by time limitation. Consciousness is of the nature of timelessness. Therefore, we say the only eternal meaning of the word eternity is, substance of the substantive eternity is nothing but consciousness. Eternity, eternal, if at all you say, what is eternal? Timelessness is, being timeless is being eternal. Understand? Why it is timeless? Because consciousness lends your existence to the very time factor. How? I had already taught you. Time, there is a time when the time is. There is a time when the time is not. But consciousness is always. Therefore we say what? Consciousness is of the nature of timelessness. Now, next. There is space. Is space an object of knowledge or not? Space, my God, we do not know where exactly space begins, where exactly space ends. Space is incomprehensibly vast. Space is spatially limitless. Space is the only element which is free from spatial limitation. Spatially limitless element is space. Because there is no place where space is not. Space is all pervasive. In fact, space is all accommodative. Can you think of any one small object outside of space?
Is there anything which exists outside of space, far from space? My God, everything here exists within the space only. Isn't it? For space is said to be avakasha pradata. All accommodative is space. This all accommodative, all pervasive, spatially limitless space is an object of knowledge or not. Therefore, object of knowledge means it has dependent existence. Why? Space will be non-existent if there is no knower of space. The knower is consciousness. Therefore, it is the consciousness which lends existence to the very space. Therefore, consciousness which lends existence to the all-accommodative space, understand, is free from spatial limitation. Is not subject to spatial limitation. Not bound by spatial limitation. Therefore, we say consciousness is spatially limitless. Sarvagatam, sarvavyapi. We say Bhagavan is sarvavyapi, sarvagataha. Sarvagataha means what? All pervasive. Reality is all pervasive means what? It pervades the space which pervades everything. All pervasive of all pervasive space. Therefore, consciousness is spatially limitless. Now we will tell you. Every object is different from every other object. Every object is different from every other object. Because name is different, form is different, purpose it serves is different. Every object serves a different purpose. Therefore, nama rupa karanam, isn't it? Purpose is different, therefore every object is different from every other object. Whereas every object being an object of knowledge is dependent on the subject of knowledge, the knower for its existence. And the knower being consciousness, the truth of every different object with every different object with a different name, every object serving different purpose also, the truth of every object being one and the same consciousness. No object is different from consciousness. Water is distinct from the wave, but no wave is different from the water. Why? Wave is water. Like consciousness is not any object, but every object is what? Consciousness. Therefore, consciousness is free from object limitation also. These are the three important limitations. Other than consciousness, you can write and keep underlined this statement. Everything in this universe is subject to these threefold limitations. There's nothing which is free from these threefold limitations. Space alone is free from spatial limitation. But space is subject to time limitation. Space is subject to object limitations. But everything else subject to all the three limitations. There's only one vastu, one reality, one substance which is free from time, space and object limitations. is consciousness. Kalataha aparichinnam, deshataha aparichinnam, vastutaha aparichinnam, free from time limitation, spatial limitation, and object limitation. Your consciousness is, because consciousness is free from these threefold limitations, consciousness is said to be of the nature of limitlessness, infinitude, infinite, time-wise, spatially, object-wise. Understand? Limitless. Limitless is a word for infinite. Everything in this universe is finite in nature because everything is subject to threefold limitations. Everything has an antam, adi, anta. But adi, anta, rahita is what? Brahma. Is it clear now? Therefore, that because consciousness is free from this threefold limitation, consciousness is of the nature of limitlessness, is implied by the word Brahma. Therefore, limitlessness is the swarupam, nature of the reality, the consciousness. Understand? What is the truth? We only use the word reality or the truth. You can never understand the truth or the reality without understanding its swarupam. Understanding the reality means understanding the reality in terms of its swarupam. Understand? In terms of its swarupam alone, you have to understand the reality. When you understand the swarupam, what is the reality? You only understand consciousness. Can you talk about it? Therefore, understand, therefore, that which is of the nature of limitlessness is the reality. That reality which is of the nature of limitlessness is consciousness. So consciousness is of the nature of limitlessness. Therefore, it is implied by the term Brahma. So Brahma is not a word which indicates directly. Any word directly indicates a given object. Padyate anena iti padam. Padam means that by which you arrive at something else. Something else, something is arrived at through which is called padam. But is Brahma is such a word? Laptop, you arrive at it. Mic, finger, nail, hair, nose, flower, pot, picture, timepiece, radiator, wall, light, lamp. Every word I say, immediately, you directly, the word indicates an object. You arrive at the object when you hear the word. But Brahma, do you arrive at it? Therefore, Brahma is not an indicating word, a term. It is a defining word. Defining word is what now? Lakshanam. The word Brahman, okay, it is a word which implies the nature of reality. So Brahma means that which is big. Brihatvat, there's a root brimh. Brimhati means gross, becomes big. So brihatvam means bigness. Brihatvat Brahma. Due to its bigness, it is called Brahma. That which is big. What is bigna? That which is impravityam, that which is big is Brahma. Big means how big it is, how great it is. Big is an adjective. Big means it's a relative term, isn't it? How big it is. Is it as big as the mountain, as big as the ocean, as big as what, as big as what? No, it is incomparably big. Incomparably big means what? It is limitlessly big. Limitlessly, incomparably, limitlessly big means how? Time-wise, object-wise, spatially limitless. Therefore, limitlessly big. So that which is time-wise, object-wise, spatially limitlessly big is Brahma. For the word is only implies, doesn't indicate. Got it? That's why Brahma, Brahma means what? It, you have to understand correctly. Understand? That's why it has to be unfolded. You cannot come to the word Brahma without understanding all these things. Then you say, and that Brahma, reality, out of the, so this time-wise, spatial, time-wise limitless, object-wise limitless, spatially limitless, reality, the consciousness is implied by the term Brahma. Understand the word that the Brahma is only implies the nature of reality. So Brahma means what? That which is of the nature of limitlessness is equal to Brahma. Means Brahman is reality. Therefore, the word Brahma only implies the swarupam, the nature of the reality, being limitlessness. Unless you understand what limitlessness is, understand? You can understand what is implied by the term Brahma. To understand what is that, what is, understand now, so to understand limitlessness, you should know what is that which is of the nature of timelessness. What is that which is spatially limitless? What is that which is object-wise limitless? You should have understood that. Not to understand what is that which is of the nature of limitlessness. If you understand what is of the nature of limitlessness, then you understood what is that which is implied by the term Brahma. Is it clear? Does it go above the head? Is it okay? I can't help. That is very, very important to be with the class, isn't it? Some people think, oh, it's all we know already. People think it is something, hope you got it really. It's not simply saying Brahma, Brahma. If you say, yes, we understand what the word Brahma means, you understand what is that which is of the nature of limitlessness. If you say we understand what is that which is of the nature of limitlessness, you really should have understood what it means by saying what is that which is of the nature of timelessness, what is that which is free from spatial limitation, what it means by saying being object-wise limitless. To understand what it is being object-wise, spatially, time-wise, limitless, so understood what actually the reality is. Understand what the reality is. To understood what is the surupam of the knower. To understand what is the surupam of the knower. Understand? You should have distinguished the knower from the known. Then resolve the knower also. Then not hold on to knower, okay? Resolve it also. Now we can say, the truth of the entire cosmos is Brahma, Chaitanyam. Consciousness, the limitless reality, implied by the term Brahma. For Brahma Satyam. And that Brahma, the consciousness, happens to be the content of I in every individual, the truth of every being. It is implied by the term Atma. Apnoti sarvam iti Atma. That which pervades everything is Atma. As the truth of every individual is what? Consciousness. What the truth of the entire cosmos? Consciousness. From the standpoint of the entire universe, consciousness is implied by the term Brahma. The standpoint of every individual, consciousness is implied by the term Atma. Two different terms implying the swarupam of the reality being consciousness. That's why Atma, computer, book, wall, Atma. You cannot understand it. Understand? Atma means all pervasive. How is it all pervasive? As the truth of every individual is Atma. Therefore, there is no other reality other than Atma. Therefore, there is an adjective attributed to this Atma as Parama Atma. Absolute Self means the only self of every being, the innermost essence of every being is one and the same all-pervasive reality. Therefore, it's implied by the term Parama Atma. Atma is enough. Understand? We add the adjective Parama to say what? Absolute Self. What is Absolute Self? The only reality which is the self of all the beings, the truth of everything is Parama Atma. Atma is Paramatma. There is no two Atmas, okay? And Brahma. Why use these all technical terms? Now we come to the next step. Therefore, this truth of the entire universe is of the nature of timelessness. When you say, what does it mean? It has no beginning. Timelessness implies beginninglessness. Therefore, it has no end also. Adi antarahitam is Brahma. Understand? Therefore, it has no beginning, it has no end. Why? Because it has no cause. Because it has no beginning, it has no cause. Which means, if it is no cause, means it is uncaused, causeless. Okay? Karana rahitam, akaranam, adiyanta rahitam, kala rahitam, kala atitam is Brahma. Therefore, we say, absolutely eternal. Because it has no cause, now next step, have to come step by step. It is time-wise limitless, which implies there's no beginning and end. Because it has no beginning and end, therefore it has no cause. Because it is uncaused, causeless, therefore it has no it is not dependent on anything else. Therefore it is self-existent. How do you arrive at it self-existent? You have to start from there, okay, like mathematical steps. How do you say that which is of the nature of self-existence? Swatmani avasthanam. That which is of the nature of existence. That which is of the nature of self-existence. Self-existent means it has independent existence. Being self-existent means being independently existent. Or being independently existent means being the reality or being real. Therefore, consciousness is implied by the term satyam. I do not know, today everything is coming like this. Satyam. Understand why reality is implied by the term satyam. Satyam literally means the truth, the reality. So reality means what? That which is by itself. That which exists by itself independently is satyam. Which alone is satyam. Very profound. So many terms you are coming across. How do you arrive at it? Your consciousness is satyam. Why do you say consciousness is satyam? Because it has independent existence. Its independent existence means it is self-existent. Because it has no cause. It is uncaused, causeless. It has no cause because it has no beginning and end. It has no beginning and end because it is timeless. It is timeless because of the truth of the very time. Got the steps? If you miss the steps, you cannot have the clear vision. Therefore, satyam is jnanam. Reality, which is of the nature of self-existent, which is self-existent reality, is nothing but consciousness, which is of the nature of limitlessness. Therefore, Taittiriya Upanishad says, Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. I've explained all three words today. Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. What is Brahma? That which is of the nature of limitlessness. How limitless? Time-wise, object-wise, spatially limitless. What is the time-wise, object-wise, spatially limitless reality? Consciousness, jnanam. What is the consciousness which is self-existent, which is of the nature of existence, satyam? Whose swarupam is existence? How do you say it is existence? Which is of the nature of existence. What does it mean? That which is of the nature of existence is self-existent. Means independently existent. Independently existent means what? causeless. Causeless means what? Uncaused. Uncaused, causeless means what? Beginningless. Beginningless and endless. Beginningless, endless means what? Being timeless. Timeless means, being timeless means what? Being free from time limitation. Understand? How? Because that which lends existence to time is the order. Got it? But this Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma, where are you going to search for? As very you. But you are Brahma. How can you know that? Where can you know? Yo veda nihitam guhayam parame vyoman. Yo veda nihitam guhayam. As very you. Therefore, this is the teaching. Finished, today's class over. You re-listen. Have any doubts, please come back to me.
Okay. Switch off my mind.
If you switch on your mind, you can't, then you will become... You'll be as well as non-existent.
Yeah, yeah. It's life meditation, you know,
for point one. Okay. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.
Namaste.
Okay. Here, see, this is the concluding session of this academic year here in UK. Because we are all going to India to spend time with Pujya Swamiji. So, until I come back, don't think there will not be any more classes. This every Thursday, you'll all be coming here. You'll be listening to the classes. Okay? There'll be classes. So, don't think there won't be classes. There'll be classes. Maybe November, we may have a small break. December you will have classes. December first week onwards you will have classes. And I'm thinking I'm going to prescribe a book by Pujya Swamiji. And it's a small book. And which you can have a study group, a small, you all can come here, form a circle. And all of you, I'll see that because people are coming, many people are coming, I'll try to send that small book for all of you here. So all of you can sit and then, it's not that you can read at home itself, it's not that you can't read at home, but coming to the group is a support system, isn't it? One person reads one paragraph, other person can read other paragraph, other person can read other paragraph, and so you can understand. What is the text? What is the book? I got two, three books in my mind. I'll let you know anyway. Okay? So, when you come back, we'll have the class. So, we'll be reading it. Which means, there'll be regular Thursday meetings here. And then, because we have done something, I'm going to tell you what to do next. So that, whatever you have been listening to me, should become very clear. There should not be any line of vagueness. This time, the whole thing I'm completely doing differently for all of you because I had experience with other people. I did not start from the beginning earlier. I did start from the beginning, but I was a little glossing over, just going faster. Taking it for granted, people would have already understood everything very clearly because they've been exposed to study for many years. That my assumption was, I thought, even if people know, doesn't matter. When they come to me, let me start from the scratch. if they can bear with me, that means that patience is good enough for them, for me to understand that they're really serious students. So that's why I was very slow here. But anyway, I have lots of things I had to unfold further. I want to stop in a good place. That's why I wanted to do this like this today. It, because a concluding class, I brought this today. Otherwise, I would have gone for it a little differently also. I would have elaborated on it. Again, I would have taken it for some more time. So, there will be classes, and please come and do. And when you come here, I also want all of you to chant a mantra. The thing is, why mantra chanting? In fact, I'm very happy for all of you to have been already doing this Ramanama Jap, Rama Mantra. Because today you understood the meaning of the word Rama. You know, Ramaha means Swasmin Ramate. Swatmani Ramate, Swasmin Ramate Iti Ramaha. The one who revels in oneself is Rama. Means that, what is the reveling in oneself? Being self-existent is reveling in oneself. Understand? Being self-existent. Now you know what is Satyam. Understand? Today you understood the meaning of the word Rama. Actually, what is implied by the term Rama? Kodandapaya Rama is a symbol. Rama, which stands for Dharma, the universal law and order. Rama. But actually, the truth of the word Rama is what? You understood today. Reveling in oneself, we understood now. Therefore, I am very happy for you to do Ramanama Japam, no problem, in this class. But I want all of you to... But here specifically we need to pray. Even though we are all interested, we are all very committed to the pursuit of knowledge, we make lots of effort to come here. You spare your precious time and energy to come here and be genuinely seeking, genuine seekers, sadhakas. But really to progress, we need, of course you are making adequate efforts. I'm sure you're making adequate efforts because to come to this war and attending the cold weather, I was wondering sometimes, if climate was very cold like this, do you think I would have gone for these classes in the evenings when I was young? But really you all make efforts. But the efforts are very important. But along with efforts, what you need is Bhagavan's grace. If there's no effort at all, you can never have any, even little of Bhagavan's grace will not be available. But without Bhagavan's grace, mere efforts also are not enough. Therefore, you need grace. How long do I need grace? Until this vision becomes clear. Okay? The culmination of this effort should be what? Should be the vision, isn't it? Vision of the real, what you are pursuing now. But till then, you need grace, and for grace, you need prayer. And prayer means not simply, oh, what to pray for? Prayer, you should be very clear. Prayer is a will-involved auto-suggestion, and it is a karma, and no action goes without producing a karma. Therefore, prayer as an action is 100% efficacious. We need to be prayerful. Understand? And praying means you're praying to the Lord, means you're praying to the Lord, the whole, which is inclusive of you, the one who is praying to. That is why it is called auto-suggestion. It's a will involved. You really pray. And when you pray for what to pray for, doubt comes. So the mantra, there is a mantra itself presence of prayer. Mahyam, to me. You ask for three things important. Shriyam, Medham, Prajnam, Cha, Prayacha. Mahyam prayacha, O Lord, actually Mahyam to me prayacha, do give me. What should God give you? Lord, give you three things. Shrihi, all forms of wealth. All forms of wealth means all the proper infrastructure you need to live your life. Money, good job, good income. Then peaceful home, healthy body, right thinking mind, right perception. All health, all wealth. So all health, when you say Shrihi means it includes wealth in its entirety. Shriyam is objective word, okay? Shrihi, then Medha. Medha means you are all very sharp people already, but still we are not sharp enough to understand a subtle teaching of the Shastram. But we need much sharper intellect. So we pray to Bhagavan to bless us with sharpness of our good power of intellection. For Medha means the capacity to understand correctly and to retain what you have understood and to assimilate what you have understood and retained. Hearing first, we should be able to focus, listen properly, understand properly. What you understood should not go this way, be retained inside. And what has been retained should not be forgotten later on, should be kept forever alive. Now, that's what assimilation, isn't it? Unforgettable knowledge. For Medha is what? Medha, the power of intellection, to be able to listen, understand, retain, you know, assimilate, ascertain. But Medha Shakti, we need that. Before we ask Bhagavan, not only that, this Medha, then Prajna. Prajna means the vision, clear, ascertained vision of the reality. It's called Prajna. Before Shri, because when you ask for Shri, Medha, Prajna, you ask for everything else. Whatever you want here in this life, everything is covered within these three words. You not ask specially, oh, is there anything which doesn't come under the list? You tell me anything you want, I'll tell you under which it comes. Everything else you want comes under that one word, Shrihi. Nothing wrong. And then you do not feel shy to ask for okay? Bhagavan can feel very free, but how much you nag and pester and trouble, the more you get it. Okay? If you are very reluctant to ask, only one day, Om Namo Krishnamurtaye, Mahim Shriyam Medham Prajnam Chapraichya Swaha, once is enough. Next week only once. No. Every day, 108 times, 1,000 times, 1 lakh times, no time, don't say other things. The more desperate you are, the more times you can do. Our Swamiji gives an example. How should you pray to Bhagavan? If you know what you are praying for, if you know the value of what you are praying for, definitely you will be very serious and you will be praying for things very fervently. You know, in India, the beggars come. Swamiji's example, okay? The beggars come. Well, they come and stand with you. Suppose they, sir, they ask for money. Like yesterday one fellow came, yesterday on the train, he was asking for some pence, something. Here only one, hardly we see. In the temples, near the temples, you can ask, you can see beggars come and ask, sir. You ask once, now you just ignore and go. I was standing in the bus stand or something, he will come, sir. You will ignore and go, sir. You will feel forget. You will feel that immediately you want to give something, get rid of him, say, give something. You get it. And they say, this is what Swamiji's example. You hear also, only once you ask for, or how many times you ask for. If you know the value of what you're asking for, you will not feel shy at all. If you're desperate, you will pester Bhagavan, okay? Which means, that's why you do this. So at least, I'm not saying mechanically, okay? When you go and ask somebody has to owe money to you, will you simply ask how to ask them? It's a way, isn't it? Nice way of calling and then visiting and then reminding. You do all sorts of things. Okay? Somebody has to give you money. Will you forget? You cannot sleep actually. Until you get it back. Same way. It's all your wealth is with Bhagavan. Okay? I have to ask. Therefore, we should be seriously asking for it. For please see that Deepavali Amavasya is a very good day. We've already gone one Amavasya, we have nice Chandi Puja and all that here. Even though it was not to my satisfaction, but something we have done here this time. Some efforts, last minute, we decided we did it. But this Deepavali, the 13th of November onwards, you know, you can start. Very good day. Or if you think English, the 13th is not a good date for English people, don't worry, you can start from 15th of November. Leave Pad Pratima. Okay? Dvitiya onwards you can start. 15th of November you can start. Shubhasya Shigram, you can start right now, tomorrow onwards, no problem. I'm just simply saying, okay, you don't need to wait for Amavasya. You can start right tomorrow onwards. But that what mantra is, with the meaning, everything, I'll tell, maybe Peter G. Radhaji can send you emails, okay? So you can, also you must be knowing it already, been doing it for some time. And see that every day you do, at least in the evenings, when you come back, before you go to bed, do 108 times. It needs only 12 to 13 minutes. 12 minutes, not more than that. In the mornings, if you have time, you can do mornings also 108 times. Morning and evening. You know, Trikala Sandhya Vandaram. Okay, you have to do 3 times. Okay, at least morning and evening. If morning is very difficult to get up and do and all, if you find difficult, at least do 54 times. No, difficult, 27 times. Now, there's also difficult, 9 times. Mornings, okay? Evening, definitely 100 times. Sit quietly and do the japam every day, intensely. Okay? Om Namo Bhagavate Dakshinamurtaye. Salutations unto the Lord Dakshinamurtihi. Dakshinamurti is a name given to the Lord as a bestower of spiritual wisdom. Dakshinamurti is invoking the grace of the Lord as a teacher. Then use this word Dakshinamurti. A lot of explanation I have. No time to do all those things. Yes, I want you to do this. Okay? Or if you, even if you, Dakshinamurti, if you think it's difficult for you, you can say, Om Namo Bhagavate Ramaya. You can do that also. And you can, but the prayer is Mahyam Shriyam Medham Parijnancha Prayaccha Swaha. O Lord, please bless me with all forms of wealth and please bless me with good power of intellection and bless me with a spiritual wisdom which makes my life a meaningful and complete, successful life. Best prayer. You cannot do a better prayer than this. Because you are asking, you know what you are asking for. Okay? So, study of the Shastram must be done along with the prayer, which makes your efforts, you know, your efforts also will be blessed with the grace, Bhagavan's grace. Is it clear?
Ah, Sindhu. Okay.
So we will email you the mantra, everything. Okay? And today happens to be Thursday. We all can say after me only once. Om Namo Bhagavate.
Come on Skype. She's going to be finishing in 5 minutes.
Dakshinamurtaye.
Dakshinamurtaye.
Om Namo Bhagavate. Dakshinamurtaye.
Dakshinamurtaye.
Om Namo Bhagavate.
Om Namo Bhagavate.
Dakshinamurtaye.
Dakshinamurtaye.
Mahyam.
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 Shriyam.
Shriyam.
Medham.
Medham.
Prajnancha. Prayaccha.
Prayaccha.
Swaha.
Swaha.
Mahyam.
Mahyam.
Shriyam.
Shriyam.
Medham.
Medham.
Prajnancha.
Prajnancha.
Prayaccha.
Swaha
Swaha
Mahyam
Mahyam
Shriyam
Shriyam
Medham
Medham
Prajnancha
Prajnancha
Prayaccha
Prayaccha
Swaha
Swaha.
We will I'll you can hear my voice also. I'll see that we put it on the website. Okay? We'll all get emails. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So December 1st week of Thursday, you all can meet here. Okay? Until November, Rojatji will be here because all others who are here, all of you can meet. Okay, even November you can meet. You don't need to miss it. Because Rojatji will be here. Rojatji is here. You all can meet even in November. Kevinji will be here. All of you can meet in November also. Yeah.
Okay. You get the books, no?
Yeah, books you can get. I will email you soon. Okay? We're all here. We'll see at least to can meet some japa and all we can do. Still don't need to break it. Unless you need a break. You don't need a break, don't you? It's okay. Good. Until Christmas you can continue with this. It's okay. Anyway, we'll email you, don't worry. Okay. Om. Wish you all a very, very, very happy Christmas and a happy New Year. Okay? I pray to Bhagavan to bless you all with the longest, happiest, healthiest, most successful, complete, meaningful life. May Bhagavan bless you all with the fulfillment of all your righteous wishes. May Bhagavan bless you with the continuous commitment to the Shariyati Shastram and bless you with this fulfillment of this very pursuit. Om.